Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you this fine day?
I'm fine. I thought you'd be more like zingy, going quickly,
fast. Do you think I'd be all wound like up? Wired up because I've had several sips of several lattes this morning?
I am.
Oh, good.
Oh, but you start your day with a latte.
I do.
I don't.
I'm actually on my third now.
My goodness.
I know, it's a bit crazy. Right. I'm pacing myself.
Fasten
so if I start belt. Talking really quickly, you can just let me know that something's happening.
So we decided we're going to rename the show.
Today only.
Just for today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be called Artscape
Cafe.
Cafe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is a big deal.
It is.
We're having a latte off.
Yes, we're having our inaugural, we won't say, first annual.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say that. Inaugural latte off.
Featuring? Yes. Featuring the special high quality works from the Blue Canoe Bakery Cafe.
And the Hive Roastery in Canoe.
So today's contestants.
Yes. Carla and Jen at the Hive.
Yeah. And Al at the Blue Canoe. Al was there early making adjustments on his machine.
That's right. I followed Carla down the street in Canoe so she could make me our coffees. She got us two, by the way, so we could each have one.
I didn't know about the rules of bringing two. That's why I'm working on my
third. That's why it's called the inaugural.
We'll figure it out.
Yes.
So the reason why we decided to do a coffee show is because coffee and art go together.
Mm-hmm.
They do on many levels. There's the whole coffee culture where artists seem to be the ones who stay up late and drink coffee all night to get their inspired work done.
Yes.
But there's also a whole form of art called latte art.
Latte art.
And it's huge.
It is.
Really big. So we'll talk about both of those things.
Oh, exciting.
But first of all, what do you look for in a latte?
Well, in a latte, I look for the quality of the beans.
Oh.
And so I know.
Are you the kind that like, okay, you sip your latte and you're like, okay, I've got undertones of soil.
Not really. I just know when it works. Like there's some coffees I can't drink because it's over roasted or.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I just know what I know.
Well, I'm the same.
I prefer espresso. That's my favorite.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to. I mean.
Although there's not much of a canvas.
Coffee is kind of sad, actually.
Oh, like but I'm, over a latte, of, even. I would just, when I go to.
Oh, just like
I
a
just
shot.
Get a shot.
Oh.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yes. So I'm a purist. So for me, it's all about the beans.
Yeah.
And well, what I like about.
What an interesting thing later on in the show we'll talk about is why.
The chemistry.
About the espresso and sort of specific shot thing. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
It just does the trick for me because the milk kind of wears me down. It makes me tired. It's more, you know, I just want, it's like a lot of things. I don't like mixing stuff up.
Yes. Kind of girl.
Yeah.
I understand.
Just bring it.
Bring it on.
Whether it's scotch or coffee or beer, I don't want anything mixed together. There's
no fanciness.
No fanciness, but I do appreciate a nice latte in the morning. So thank you, Carla, for taking care of us. Now for Carla's beans are from Mexico. And they're from the cloud forest. And she brings them here.
Yeah.
So she sources, like she protects the land where the beans come from. And you climb up and go and pick them from the forest. So they're not from a plantation.
Right.
They're from they're still wild.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it's called Frog Friendly Wild.
Oh.
Coffee. And then she gets it here by some amazing logistical fashion. They're shipped and bagged and shipped and picked up at the port, and it's really quite an amazing journey. And they're roasted right here in Canoe.
Wow.
And so she gets to look at them and do it herself. And then for her to actually make me the coffee, that would be like getting a ride to work with a race car driver. I mean, like she totally source to cup.
Yeah.
So I love that whole curated design experience.
Oh, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. So the appreciation is deep.
Yes.
When you're having your morning cup of.
And, you know, I'm totally biased. I totally am. But I can't not drink it now because I was away this weekend for Thanksgiving and I did not bring my coffee, which I normally do. And I suffered, man. And then finally, 2 days later, I realized, it's because I haven't had any proper coffee.
Proper coffee.
Yes. Sorry, sister-in-law, I love you, but it's not proper coffee.
I know. I'm the same. We have to bring our little espresso machine when we go. Even camping, we have a little tiny Italian one that goes over the fire because I can't get through the day without even some little effort at a latte. Mm-hmm. It's just my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well,
I can't function. I was sleepy and tired, and I had to have a nap. And then I woke up from my nap, and I thought, "Oh, it's the coffee."
Sorry,
of course it is. I'm absolutely addicted, full 100%.
Yeah, I know. Hands are up.
There's a club I'm in it.
All right. Well.
Okay. So you tell me about your experience.
Okay. Well, we discovered lattes a few years back when we had recognized that we didn't really like coffee, and it made my stomach feel funny. And then we saw She Swap Coffee Company. Bletcher was at the time one of the owners at the farmer's market, mm-hmm. and they were brand new, and they were telling us about the their beans and their what they were doing, and that they were organically grown and. And I tried a little bit of their coffee, and I did not get a stomach ache.
Oh.
It was pretty exciting.
Wow.
And we'd had this little espresso machine that we bought, a little Salton machine that we'd bought at Canadian Tire like 22 years ago, that was refurbished. We got it for like $25 or something. And we tried it a couple times, but it never really... So anyway, when we bought these beans from She Swap Coffee Company and ground them up properly and started using that, we were like, okay, this is what coffee is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been... quite a number of years that we've been enjoying a morning latte. So I do appreciate the darkest roast, like the French roast, mm-hmm. which is like burnt to a lot of people, but that's what I like. Mm-hmm. And the important thing in a latte is the milk. You don't necessarily have to do 2/3 milk, 1/3 coffee, right? Like you can just decide on your ratio to your own taste. But to do a good microfoam makes the milk just a little tiny bit sweeter.
Yes.
Right? And that's nice velvety texture. It doesn't get all poofy and floofy.
Yes.
So it's just the perfect balance for us. We like, kind of like that dark roast with just a little bit less than what a normal latte would be.
Yes.
In terms of milk.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So is that a low foam?
No, it would probably be more like a flat white.
Oh, a flat white.
Yeah. But a flat white doesn't have any of the top foam. There should be a chart.
I'm sure there is.
Should be a school course or something in this. So a flat white would just have the milk from underneath, you know, when they steam it in the pitcher, and then there's kind of that velvety foam on top, but underneath there's the milk, right? They would keep the foam back and pour the milk in.
I see.
So it's actually a little bit higher ratio of coffee to milk, mm-hmm. but you don't get that floofy thing that we'd get with a cappuccino.
Okay.
And a dry cappuccino is just the foam, yes. right? Just that stuff.
Just foam on espresso.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a latte is kind of a mixture of both, right. but higher milk
but
to coffee ratio.
But it is a bit of a hybrid, a latte.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in Spain, they call them something different than in France. In France, they're café au lait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in Spain, they're café luongo or... anyway, I think the latte thing is actually Spanish.
Yeah.
Or is it Italian? I don't know.
Well, lattes were created in Italy mm-hmm. first. Did you know that they were invented in Turin?
Café latte.
I want to go to Turin to go to, especially Turin? To the yeah. place where. But espresso has been kicking around since the 1800s, right? Like the Italians figured that out very quickly.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just saying culturally we sort of absorb the concept of the latte.
Oh,
but
definitely.
It's relatively new.
It is.
Yeah.
So the latte was actually more like something in the 50s, and it kind of came out of the. Well, there was a popularity, a trend, so to speak.
Like the early 90s or?
Well, it kind of goes back further than that because, it was just
urbanization. In North America, yeah.
Yeah, an urbanization trend, right? Like where there was actually a splitting of the classes and there was a need for people, it's kind of post-World War II, to gather, right? Like the opportunities to gather, places mm-hmm. to socialize. Mm-hmm. And so lattes didn't really become something until then. So we're talking 50s and 60s before there was any evidence of lattes. Nobody knows who actually invented the darn things. But anyway, you did see them first in the Italian neighborhoods in the United States.
But you wouldn't have called it a latte. You would never go to an Italian store and say, give me a latte. They'd look at you like, a what?
Yeah, yeah. But it was definitely an Italian-influenced thing in the United States. And it came out of the 60s and 70s. And they found them first in like Little Italy, right? In New York, places yes. like that. So, and then with that sort of subculture, counterculture kind of thing going on, 60s and 70s, the espresso bars
yes.
became a thing.
And, yes.
But espresso bars were already a thing in Italy. So here we're going to go way back again. So in smaller communities, the prices of coffee were controlled by the local authorities, provided that the coffee was consumed standing up.
Hmm.
So
that's where everybody would go.
Yeah. So that's where you go, is to the local coffee bar, right? Where you'd stand up just like at a bar and just like, what? There goes your espresso. Mm-hmm. In and out, I'm done.
And it's really like that. They walk in, they go, they down it and they're out.
Yeah. So that's why they don't need a go cup.
No go cup.
Did you,
no
time. Have you told your go cup story on the air yet?
I think I have. Yeah.
I love
we
it.
We went to an Italian coffee shop and we want a cafe and we wanted a cup of coffee to go. And the barista kept looking at us saying, go where? Where are you going? What do you mean go? You don't like my coffee cups? You don't like my beautiful espresso cups? I mean, they're little wee tiny things. It takes all of 10 seconds. No, we want something so we can walk. And, you know, we're trying to make hand signals. Walk and look at things while we're drinking our coffee, you know, doing all this sort of charades. And he's like, okay. So we put it in a Pepsi cup. It was awful. So the
waxy
from the coffee melted. I mean, it was the most terrible. So anyway, that's why I say you should drink it there.
Yes.
In the cup.
Yeah. And people do. They show up. Yes. They get a, like, pound their fist on the table. They get a shot of espresso. They pound it back. They're gone.
And they're gone.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
It's done its purpose.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel bad. It was a good lesson for me, though.
It is.
Go where?
I love this. You have arrived.
Yes. You are here. Where you go? You know, like my cups? I like your cups.
Oh, that's so sweet. So let me tell you, though, because you got to talk about Carla and her bean sourcing.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Which is really exciting.
It's such a beautifully curated
experience. Yeah, because if we're going to have a global...
And I can taste it in the coffee.
Yeah,
I feel like I hear that story every time I sip it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's part of the experience.
Yes.
So, but it's a good thing to remember because besides
there's a lot of
oil...
BS, sorry to say, about coffee. And people will say, oh, it's fancy, it's Italian. No, it's in an Italian package, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you try to dress it up like something that it isn't. So you have to be very careful, I think.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Like, apparently one of my favorite, I thought Italian coffees are just, it's just Maxwell House in a fancy bag.
Ooh.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? I've been fooled.
Yeah.
No more.
Okay, well, besides oil, coffee is the highest traded commodity.
Mm.
It's a big, big deal globally. So it's important for us to be aware and to make thoughtful choices when we choose our coffee. So I think that's so critical what Carla's doing and helping to educate her public too, right? About how important it is to still wild source them.
Yes.
So Shoes Up Coffee Company is also a very conscious, organic, and fair trade company.
Mm-hmm.
And they utilize an organization called Cafe Femenino.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that?
Yep.
So that's, and for anyone who doesn't know, is...
Yes, sorry, it's not very helpful. Yeah, I know. Next topic. No, of course I know, yeah.
It's an organization that helps women farmers. And most of these coffee plantations and small coffee farms are owned by families.
Yes.
The problem in the past has been that the men who have taken the yield and gone down to market into the cities to sell the beans, get the money, and then they spend most of it drinking and doing whatever before they get home.
Yeah.
So this puts the power in the hands of the woman. So she's the one that has to do the managing of the...
Trading.
Well, I mean, they're mostly the ones
mostly
that do the
women
work.
Are the ones who are picking the beans.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones doing it all. It's just the male's, I'm sorry to say, the man's job is just to take it to market.
So it's about who the transactions are with.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So it supports families in places like Guatemala and Nicaragua and high coffee producing places. So I appreciate that. So we make sure that we buy French roast, and I know Al buys the Cafe Femenino varieties that Shoes Up Coffee Company does. So that's important too.
Yes, and they're both of these are available at your local... grocery store.
Yes.
And it's important that you know the story behind the beans.
Yeah.
As Carla calls it, human beans for human, or human beans for human beings.
Nice.
Right?
Nice. So,
it's such a, it's just a wonderful culture.
It is.
And it's totally acquired, you know?
Oh, like, it is. And the guy.
Like, you can't find a bean here. or tea. You can't find a tea leaf in Canada.
Yeah, we don't do that very well, do we? We don't grow things
it's
like that
impossible.
Very well. We have to, we have to import.
What would we do?
I don't know.
Is there anything of any kind that we could roast and steep?
Well, there's chicory.
Oh.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as fun.
No, No, not when it's whipping your knees on the side of the road as you're biking past.
Chocolate. No.
Chocolate. Sounds very Italian. Yeah. Okay, I just want to say, speaking of not really understanding the coffee culture, but acquiring it.
Yes.
The guy who created latte art did the same thing. He was actually an engineer.
Yes.
Worked at Boeing, worked for the United States Air Force. Uh-huh. He was like he calibrated measuring devices of Brainiac. Some kind.
Well, that's what making a latte is. You have to calibrate.
I guess so, right?
Those machines, man, they're awesome.
Yeah. So his name is David Schomer. And of course, we're in Seattle.
Yes.
It's the 90s. He is also, he has his fine arts degree in flute playing.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Wow, what a renaissance
he
man.
He takes a break from his engineering career and plans to pursue.
As one does.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm like, oh, today I'm tired.
Yeah.
And he decides he's going to pursue his professional flute playing career. But in the meantime, he's just going to take a mental break. And he got a little mobile coffee cart and set it up in Seattle in some industrial area. Didn't particularly have a love of coffee, just decided, oh, that makes sense. I'll just kick back and serve coffee to all these workers for a little while.
Not everything has to make sense.
Yeah. And he just acquired this passion for this producing the most awesome coffee.
Wow.
So he actually was inspired by a guy in Italy who was first doing patterns in the crema using milk. And this would have been just in small, like macchiato kind of form. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the macchiato that Starbucks makes is not actually a macchiato.
No.
It's flavored and has weird things.
But the cultures morph as they...
Oh, they totally do. Yeah. People just... I mean, if you went to a real espresso bar and ordered a macchiato, you would not get the thing that you get in Starbucks.
So. And I think if you went to a coffee bar in Italy and asked for a cafe latte, they'd look at you like...
Go away?
Grande cafe latte. A, we don't do grande. B, they're not called cafe lattes.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be what?
So it's...
It'd be more like a macchiato.
Cappuccino.
Yeah, but a cappuccino would be not enough. It's half and half, right? Half milk, half coffee. Mm-hmm. Macchiato has more milk, right?
Then it'd be a macchiato.
I guess so. Because it seems like latte seems very European, the word. Is that...
No, I just think it's morphed into a North American.
Yeah.
Like all that language on the Starbucks menu. Grande,
I know.
Cafe latte, that's all.
Kind
like,
of adopted it.
It's made
Isn't
up.
There a word for that when you take other people's culture and make
yes.
it? Yeah, okay.
I can't remember. And aculturalization, there's a word
for that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this guy, David Schomer, he actually started his own permanent barista house called the Espresso Vivace.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is Italian for lovely.
Oh.
Isn't it? Yeah. Vivace.
Nice.
Yes.
So he became known for the heart.
Okay.
Doing the little heart.
Yes.
And it was really big. It just took off. And so people actually came to him from all over the world, came to Espresso Vivace to learn how to do latte art.
He's probably not there anymore.
I think he's still... Like, he's still the guy, right?
The
guy. He still runs his own little place there, even though Starbucks has grown up around him and Seattle's Best and all of these places. Mm-hmm. He still is passionate about his individual coffees.
It's artisan coffee, yeah.
And some people say, like, his espresso really means pressed out.
Yes.
Right? But a lot of people are saying that espresso refers to each coffee being made expressly for you.
Oh.
Yeah. Which
espresso.
Is kind of a made-up urban dictionary sort
Could
of
be.
Definition. Hmm. But anyway, okay, so then he actually developed the fern pattern based on a design that he saw from Italy, same thing. And so the two patterns, the heart pattern and the fern pattern, which actually is the Rosetta, they call it, became like the trademarks. And he actually taught a course. You could go and take a three-day course with him for $1,000.
Wow.
Yep. Latte Art 101.
And there you go.
Yeah. And so it just became this enormous thing. This is all happening in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So it's only in the last real 20 years.
It's true.
Yeah. That it's been a thing.
Well, thank heavens.
Brand new history.
Yeah.
And now there's like world championships. Have you seen the world champion?
No, but I hear you can watch them on YouTube.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yes.
So there's two basic kinds, right? There's the free pour and then the etchings. So you see sometimes pictures of people having done etchings. They've done like a bird on a apple blossom branch or something.
Yes.
That's not a free pour.
No.
The free pour would be the Rosetta or the heart.
Okay. Right? So free pour, you're taking the metal milk thing and you're doing it as you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas the etching, you're using something.
You use a tool of some kind.
A tool of some kind.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And the crema
yes.
is the most important part. So these guys at the World Championship bring their own machines.
And the crema is from the coffee, not
That's
the
right.
milk.
That's okay. right. The crema is your, and the higher the contrast, the higher your marks. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're getting the superior coffee every time with a dark, dark crema. Mm-hmm. Because as Al at the Blue Canoe likes to call it, that's my canvas.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so you've got a good canvas, a good start, then you get your beautiful microfoam milk. And the microfoam thing was developed in Italy as well and adopted in the United States where they discovered, holy, if you get this velvety milk thing going on, you can really do some
yeah.
cool designs. So,
well, it is. I mean, it's incredible chemistry.
It is.
Behind coffee. And then the other thing we haven't talked about is the water.
Yeah.
Because the water is so important.
See, we could talk about this for several mm-hmm. hours, actually, because there's way too much information.
And, you know, is it water that, is it a glacier fed? You know, like, who's to say? We have great water. I'm sure that's why our coffee is very good.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
And also, the quality of your grinder is huge.
Oh, okay.
If you do not grind your coffee properly, and if your grinder isn't one of those, you know, actual grinders, not just a whizzing metal blade.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh.
Yes, right. Mm. Yeah, I know.
Got to get a new grinder.
And some people even say, If you're going to spend the big bucks, don't spend it on the espresso machine. Spend it on the grinder.
Oh,
yeah, because you're not going to get a good coffee no matter what if you got a crappy grinder. Yeah,
and it's so. I mean, in terms of design, that whole coffee culture, the cups, the espresso machines, the attachments, I love looking at coffee machines.
Yeah. I know, like those really big ones that look like cars.
Like I would love it if I went. So my only. As much as I love the Hive and the Blue Canoe, my only thing would be if there could be like a coffee cam so I could watch you make my espresso.
Oh,
that would
yeah.
make me happy.
Well,
and often if you notice I don't mean to say it like that, but say you go to Little Italy in Vancouver and you go to Calabria's, which is the original Italian. You can watch them make your. Because they're sort of behind you. They turn around and you watch them.
Oh. Okay,
it's not hidden.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, nobody's trying to hide things, but it's against the back wall where you can actually see them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they can put up a big mirror like they do at cooking class.
Yeah, so you can watch them.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That would be good.
Yes.
So actually, speaking of Vancouver, have you been to Cafe Artigiano?
Well, you took me there.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about our road trip. Yeah, because you're surrounded by world championship art, mm-hmm. latte art on the walls there because they take photos of all of their entries. They're big. Cafe Artigiano people are big time into competing.
Mm.
So if you ever want to see, if you want to sit and have a really awesome latte and look at all the artwork.
And do they make art on every latte?
Yes.
Includes a piece of art?
Yes.
Lovely.
It's beautiful.
Mm.
And that's the interesting thing too. It's the free pour. I mean, you mostly get the rosetta or the heart, but... The key to a good latte artist is to be able to repeat that again and again and again and again and again.
And again,
and again.
Well, it's good practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do it for a living at the Cafe Artigiano.
Well, when they, at the World Championships, I'm sorry, I keep going back to that because I found that fascinating. I read all the sort of little bios and little, you know, because they ask questions. It's just like the book section of the Globe where you ask these random little questions. What's the most interesting container you ever poured a latte into? You know, that kind of thing. So I was reading them all on these entries and they're from all over the world. These people from Austria and Taiwan and Germany. Anyway, what was I saying?
Cafe.
Oh, the guy.
The practice.
Right, the practice.
Champion.
So because they have to do, like part of the championship is two identical free pours.
Okay.
They have to be identical.
Okay.
And the one guy says he practices the identical free form by doing up to 90 lattes a day.
Wow.
90 lattes a day. Like that's a lot. If you're not already working in a coffee shop, that's a lot of coffee going out.
Mm-hmm.
Like who are you serving? I guess you got a lot of friends.
Yes. Well, I mean, you would be a barista. Hopefully
yeah, you'd have
you're
to
selling.
Be.
Yeah. Also, that would be expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those machines are not cheap.
No. I know because I'm looking into one.
Are you? Nice.
Well, I like our little one. We actually have been through three machines. We have our Sultan that continues to work brilliantly for us. Mm-hmm. And then we had a little, what was that one called? A Bedoni or something like
yes.
that. It, we blew its gasket after about 5 years. And now we're on a Breville Cafe Roma,
yes.
which makes excellent coffee.
Yes.
But the milk takes too long.
Oh.
The milk is a long, long steam, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure is a bad thing now that I think about it, because it does, like the more I read about microfoam and getting that velvety texture, it should be a shiny, velvety thing on top.
Yes.
That the Breville does that.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe 10 minutes at the steamer is not actually time wasted. Maybe it's important. It just seems like everybody else.
But then
else,
by 10 minutes, your espresso shot is cool.
I know, I know. But it does make the best coffee out of any of the machines we've wow. done. Yeah.
I would love to have a plumbed-in espresso machine.
Yes. That would be so nice.
But that's, you know, $6,000.
Well, yeah. Really yeah. Well, I once, you know, when Shelley and Joanne still owned She Swap Coffee Company.
Yes.
They had a beautiful little coffee bar set up in their garage. Aww. I don't know if you ever visited there.
No.
It was so amazing.
Aww.
So they had two big, beautiful machines. And when they were going to sell She's Up Coffee Company, I just mentioned, boy, if you're going to get rid of one of those machines, then, you know, I stuck up my hand. And Shelley just so kindly said, well, this one, you'll have to pry out of my cold, dead hands. Because I guess once you've bonded with your machine.
Well, it's like a teapot. It's only tastes that good because
you've seasoned it.
You've seasoned it, right? Or a cast iron frying pan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It becomes, you know it inside and out. Mm-hmm. It knows you.
You pry from my cold dead hand. That's hilarious.
But it's kind of, I mean, I understand. Like we do become one with our machines. Look at you and your laptop.
Yes, I know. I'm looking for more information for the next portion of our show.
Oh, I got it though, because it's all about the artists.
Yay!
I know. Like the artists and coffee goes together
mm-hmm.
naturally. It's been known forever that artists like to gather and deep into the night.
Is it so then it's a chicken egg thing? Do they like to gather
first?
And they drank coffee, or did they drink coffee and then they gather?
Oh, well, it's I think the gathering started before a coffee started, because of course we're talking globally, right? Artists have always
really, I think it's probably they were drawn by the coffee.
Do you think so?
Stayed for the conversation.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Who knows? I don't know. Does
well,
anybody know? If you know, let us know.
Okay. Well, we'll right. talk about that in the next part. But the thing is right now is where are you in your latte? Because first taste, second taste, and then halfway through, and then chug in the end is all important, right?
I'm done.
Oh, I'm on my last quarter cup, and it's still tasting awesome.
Oh,
I know. I love it.
That's great.
I know. Okay.
I'm a speed drinker. I'm sorry.
No, it's yeah. okay. Well, you're drinking with purpose.
Yes.
I'm drinking for entertainment. Yes. Really.
I see. Okay. So you're a leisure drinker. I'm very utilitarian.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
So I don't get the whole hedonistic, you know, necessarily. It doesn't have to have a fern on it. It
yeah.
just has to be taste good.
Oh, but yeah. you see your experience, right?
Yes.
How you're going from bean to cup experience.
Yeah.
My experience is partly the artwork
yes.
and everything.
And, yeah.
and watching the artwork change as I drink it. And then having the looking in my cup after I've kind of forgot about it for a few minutes and going, I still have coffee.
It's still there. I still have some.
That's like super
Aww.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what's
I
time
hope,
to
I hope our sponsor Anonymous is drinking coffee.
I hope so.
Who do you
so.
Think Anonymous likes espresso, cappuccino, or maybe just Sanka.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't think our sponsor is a Sanka person.
No. Okay.
I think our sponsor is an espresso person.
Okay.
A stand up at a bar, drink it down in one shot,
yeah.
go on to the next thing kind
right.
of person.
Who yeah. wears tartan, which we determined 2 weeks ago. So by the end of the year, this person will have an entire
identity. We'll have
identity.
Invented something.
Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe they'll reveal themselves.
Ooh.
And we'll see how close we were.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna live tweet my photo of the free pour that Al produced for me this morning.
Ooh.
So SAG Curator would be the place that you could find that tweet. And and I'm still enjoying it. And I'm just down to the... And it's cool, right? Like it's not cold yet, but it's cool. And a latte should still taste amazing.
When it's cold.
Yes. That's a key. If
huh.
if you take that last sip and it's like, ugh, then that is not a good latte.
Not a good latte.
Just saying.
Good to know.
Okay. So on to creativity.
Mm-hmm.
What does coffee have to do with creativity?
Well, everything, I would imagine.
I
because
think,
if we're not, alert.
Yes. Well, and a lot of artists out there and designers mm-hmm. will absolutely attest to the fact that when you're, when you are in the zone, mm-hmm. in your right brain, going full throttle on a project, on a product, on whatever, you go into the night.
Yes.
It's an into the night kind of experience. Mm-hmm. We don't hang up our brushes or our pencils or whatever at 6 o'clock and say, well, it's supper time.
It's supper time.
Yeah. So what do you need to get you through the night?
Coffee.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's become essential as an important supply as the very materials you use to create your art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and it has always been thus. Well, not always, but since like the 14th century in Turkish coffee houses.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Turkish coffee. Yes. Boy, talk about coffee you can stand a spoon of.
Exactly.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not just a drink, it's a culture.
Yes. Right?
And in fact, in Quebec or the French part of the world, if you say, on va au café, we're going to go to the, you're not saying we're going to the coffee shop, we're going to go out to a social. Mm. There might be music or art or conversation or poetry or literature.
Yeah.
So café implies culture.
Ah. So the culture
and it's
of,
true here too. The coffee house is not necessarily about the coffee. It's about the musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's really ingrained in, you know, oh, get it, coffee greens. Sorry. A little pun. It's ingrained in culture.
Yeah.
There's this idea of serving a beverage that everyone can share, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I still think back to when Dolores told me that when the first coffee shop opened in Seminar, she said, well, that's not going to fly.
That's not going to fly.
Who's going to go out for coffee when you can just have coffee in your own house and have your neighbors
over?
And
we have so many, really.
I know.
You know?
But the social aspect, you're right. That's become the culture. Mm-hmm. There is a coffee culture, and it's not just artists and creative sorts that, take advantage of that. It is absolutely a social draw to come to coffee houses, coffee shops, any cafes that has a good environment, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the atmosphere, about feeling relaxed and productive and,
I think connecting to the world. Mm-hmm. It's like you're checking in. I'm here.
Yeah.
Except that, and we have so many. We have a French one. We have an Italian one. We have the Blue Canoe. We have the Pink Cherry.
Yeah.
We have the Hive. We have so many. Mm-hmm. And every time a coffee shop or a cafe or a cappuccino bar is established in a neighborhood, the value of property goes up.
Oh, yeah. Did you also
it's
know?
It's an indicator of vibrancy and well-being and.
Totally, I would buy that for sure.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too, about gathering spaces and public art. It's been well known to not throw public art up in any old place. Mm-hmm. Don't just think you're going to beautify an area because you've put a sculpture there and a couple
decorating.
Of benches. Yeah, that's decorating. But as soon as you have a cafe within 50 feet of any space, you could put public art and a couple benches there, and that becomes the place to be. There's something about a cafe that will draw a gathering crowd and you can meet at the, you know, at the thing, whatever the thing is. If it's like a giant dancing person, let's meet at the dancing guy and we'll grab a coffee. You see, like it becomes a thing. It becomes a gathering point.
Gathering point, a creative space.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you got to have the cafe as part of the equation or else there's no reason to go there really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about us walking around with our cups and our mugs of coffee makes
this
us feel.
This might be too utilitarian. Although I do that, I bring my mug with me.
Yeah. Well, I have my mug, but I also think
but
think
I don't check in at the coffee shop as much as I used to. Like I tend to make my coffee at home and then, but I should be like this morning I went to the Hive. It was great. Carla was there. Lori was there.
I know.
We had coffee. There were customers there getting their coffee.
Yeah.
It's bright and colorful and warm and it smells good. And I feel more energized because I did that.
Yeah.
Also way cooler than my little, you know, Cuisinart coffee maker.
Well, I'm the same way. I have to weigh out the, okay, am I spending $4 today on myself or am I going to just make it at home and take it with? But you know, the other day I brought my girls downtown. We went to the Pink Cherry, had a, like I had a red latte because they do a rooibos latte there. It was like Sunday afternoon. We were, had been.
A red latte?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a rooibos latte. It's just, it's tea, but it's been ground super fine.
Okay.
Do you know the red rooibos tea?
Yeah.
and then they push it through an espresso machine, just like coffee. It makes a very deep tea and it flavor.
Expresses rye tea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they
it's
do the same.
It's a form of expression. Espresso. They all have the same kind of.
Yeah. And then you put, it is a more of a decorated, it's not a good example of the utilitarian type you're talking about, because you get one of those, it's like some steamed milk in it, a little bit of honey and some cinnamon on top. You've got, it's like dessert, right? Anyway, the point is it's Sunday afternoon. We're tired because we've been working outside. I made them work in the yard all day and it was their reward. Nice. And so we're sitting there, one of them had a mocha, the other one had, anyway. So we're having our light, warm drinks. And of course we see everybody in there.
At the pink chair.
Yeah. I don't know if it's one of the only places open on Sundays.
I think it's one of the only places, yeah.
So there's Rich Daniel sitting there and he comes over and harasses us for a little while. And there's Randy from the theater. And right? And then their brother John from Steel Skull Hammer. And so all these people are kind of randomly coming and going. We're talking, visiting. And my kids finally say to me, God, Mom, do you know everybody?
Everybody in town?
And I said, it feels like it when you go to a cafe, yes, because there's a certain kind of culture of cafe people. Mm-hmm. You see them all the time. Mm-hmm. And
it doesn't have to be a long, extended visit. It can just be, hey, how's it going?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which
in
is
fact,
lovely.
Those are the best kinds.
It is, because you're acknowledging that you're part of a community. Mm-hmm. Hi, how's it going? Great. That's it. Mm-hmm. See ya. Nice to see you.
It's not a meal.
Yeah.
It's not a relationship.
Not a huge commitment.
No, it's just a, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And the only thing that really bothers me about people in cafes are people who bring their laptops and sit down by themselves, mm-hmm, use up a whole table for 3 hours. I think that's a problem. Like, it's one thing if you got to check something quickly. It's another thing to just use it as your office.
3 hours.
Oh, yeah. There's been worse examples of that in town. And I just think, okay, you're not using the cafe to its potential.
No.
You're not being social. Mm-hmm. You're using up that guy's power, mm-hmm, for the price of a cup of coffee.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's very nice. I think if you're going to show up and do some work, you do a little bit of work, you close your laptop, you sit back, you look around, maybe you meet somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just check in. You just check in.
Yeah. Right. Be social.
All right.
So there's my lesson of the day. Wow. It's my rant.
Well, yeah, and we live in a society. Mm-hmm. We need to be social.
Yeah,
or also same origins, society, social.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or the actually, what's as bad is four people sitting at the cafe all on their phones. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if they're conversing with each other or what, but they're not talking, not looking at each other.
Right.
Yeah. Not very nice. Anyway, the point is the social aspect, right?
Yes.
And the creative aspect.
Sure. And I mean, think of some of the great. Well, certainly the great French cohort of painters, Picasso, Georges Braque, they all hung out at the coffee shop, the Grand Café. There's the coffee, the cafes in Paris are legendary, not necessarily because of their coffee, but because of their clientele.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true, like the Algonquin Round Table.
Yes, but they were drinking gin.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
I was thinking about that yesterday. Maybe it's like the Algonquin Round Table. I had that very same thought. Uh-huh. And then Dorothy Parker used to, what was her saying?
What men fresh hell is this?
Yeah, what?
I like that one
make,
more than...
Men don't make passes at women with glasses. And then I thought maybe she meant like gin, a glass of gin, because she was quite a drinker.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she kind of was. But I think those guys all were.
But again, that was, it was a round table and they sat there and they...
It was about being social.
Changed a lot of points of views in a very... Like the 20s was a party time, but it was also, I think, a very difficult social time. You know, the role of women and... Mm-hmm. It was...
There was a lot of feeling of oppression.
And
at that
oppression
point,
and racism. There's, would not have been my favorite time.
No,
I don't think.
No. But again, when you gather artists of any kind together, whether it be writers or musicians or whatever, you put them on a round table and give them time and something to drink that's not an intoxicating drink, you get really brilliant ideas.
Or if you go back in Quebec in the 60s, they probably met at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
A cafe. No. Yeah.
Well,
they don't really have coffee shops in Quebec. They have cafes. And
cafe. Well, of course. Mm-hmm. That would be natural. Yeah. So... did you know that Beethoven even was a well-known coffee lover?
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. He credits it. He says his strong morning ritual, strong coffee morning ritual was the catalyst for his prolific compositions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. he was really fussy too. Like he had to have 60 beans used in the creation of each cup of coffee.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like totally, like it had to be just that or else, I'm sorry, it's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder what your brain would be like without coffee?
Well, I learned one day I had a horrible headache.
Oh.
Oh, the addiction is terrible.
No, it is. Absolutely. It's an addiction. But I mean, do you think you would still think the same and create the same?
Well, you know what? I don't stay up all night drinking coffee to create. That's okay. one of the things I think that having kids does for you.
Yes. But do you think changes. You'd be functional or productive in the workplace if there were no coffee? I don't think I could.
I don't think so, yeah. Like I really think...
I worry it would impact my creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I get sort of a certain motivation when the coffee is made, because usually around 11 o'clock is when I figure, okay, I've been at work for a couple hours now. I've been usually at the computer all that time. So if I get up at 11, I move around and my eyes get to look at something else and I make a latte, then that's my motivation to kind of get down to it.
Yes.
Right? Like I feel like I got my warm drink. It's a little caffeine. It's making my brain fire. I'm going to get some work done now.
Right.
It's probably a super productive time for me between 11 and 1, actually. Yes. Yeah. Just because of that.
Well, and it's so ingrained in our work lives. I mean, we don't call them tea breaks. I mean, maybe they do in the UK. We call them coffee breaks.
Yeah.
Right? And for sure. It's like a legislated part of the workday.
Yeah.
You get 2 15-minute breaks and a half hour for lunch.
Yeah. And it's my happy thing. Did you know that? Have you ever sat down and thought about the things that bring you joy?
Yes.
And making a latte, that 9-minute process, is one of those daily things that brings me joy.
Nice.
So I make sure I do it every day.
I like hearing the grinder in the morning because I don't make the coffee. My husband does. And when that's my alarm clock. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get up now because it's sound and it's smell.
Yeah.
It's way better than an alarm clock.
Yeah.
If they could come up with a coffee grinder that also acted as an alarm clock, that would be genius.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like how nice would that be to wake up to?
It would be so perfect. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get somebody
like
right on that.
Gentle, quiet grind. Maybe it gets louder and louder and louder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay, well, before you actually do the dramatic moment, I have to say, so I'm just tweeting this picture of Al doing the free form or the free pour at the Blue Canoe this morning. And I happen to get a text from my friend up in Fairview, Alberta, who's listening, who says, oh, I'm so glad it's about lattes this morning.
Yay!
I'm thinking, oh, our listening audience is huge, international, global latte community.
Global latte community.
I love it. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Artscape Cafe.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
So today's dramatic moment is we're taking the art of latte art and we're pumping it up a notch.
Because people tend to do that. Aren't we crazy?
I know.
We just can't stop at the flat surface of the latte.
We are strange and wonderful human beings. We're always pushing boundaries. Well, there's a Japanese artist who has taken foam... latte foam, and he's sculpting with it. So not only, you know, so imagine your typical fern is, you know, flat on the top of the cup of the canvas.
Yeah.
Well, no, not this guy. No siree.
No.
He actually has kittens sticking out of the coffee cup looking at you.
Yeah.
You may have seen, I think I saw these pictures on Facebook earlier this week. He has a giraffe, an entire giraffe neck coming out.
How can
out
that
of
even
the,
be physically possible?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's the chemistry of the milk. And when you heat things and they change, you know, atoms change.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because there's the microfoam.
I mean, I'm no scientist, but.
The microfoam is the velvety one, but sometimes when you steam not quite right, you get a huge amount of foamy foam, right? Like
it's
bigger
foamy
bubbles.
Foamy foam.
That's what he's using, right?
So he's taken milk foam and turned it into sculptures.
Yeah. On top of the latte,
on
though.
Top of it. So it's three-dimensional.
Yeah. So it's not just a bunch of foam on some random piece of paper.
No.
It's on your coffee.
He says...
So you have to suck the head of the giraffe down first before you actually get to your coffee.
No, at some point, they're too beautiful.
But that's the
and
point.
And it's so temporary, so ephemeral.
I know, but I love that. I love that you're going to look at it and say, oh, it's so beautiful. I shouldn't drink it. And then
yeah,
it's gone.
See, I'm too utilitarian. I'd be like, well, why would you put all that effort into it?
No, You've got to love the effort.
I know.
It's kind of what we do. Sometimes we make things, just like when we do sandcastles.
Well, see, listen,
we know it's going to go away.
It's true.
We still see the value in creating
it. You're right. But then I'd have like
very
a whole,
passionate
yes,
about
no, this.
This
is true. Well, he says it takes between only 3 to 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have much time with foam.
No.
It would start to, you know, pop or whatever it does and become a puddle of milk fairly quickly. Right?
He's also done mimicked famous art pieces, Dali's melting clock off the edge of the side of the coffee cup. Like, it's wonderful.
Well, we're
and, of course, teddy bears and the giraffe is pretty mind-blowing. And Grumpy Cat, I mean...
he did Grumpy Cat?
He's done Grumpy Cat.
That's
like,
awesome.
How can you... Go. So then sometimes he uses two cups and they work together.
Oh.
Right?
That's serious.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what that is, but I think it's from a Disney movie. I'm sure. He does little pandas, of course. It's really incredible.
Okay, finally I get to see the pictures. Yeah. Oh, the pandas are cute. Okay, where
cute?
Can people find this?
Well,
on Facebook?
No, this is not on Facebook. It's an article in the Daily Mail.
Okay.
In the UK, where they also have lovely coffee. And it's called the Arty Latte. So just put turn coffee into 3D sculpture on Google.
Okay.
And voila.
Oh, wow.
All right. So
the gloves are off?
Gloves are off.
We're going to be serious into this latte.
That's
off.
Right. So now we need sculpture, foam sculpture. Well, thank you for the latte art and the wonderful cups of coffee this morning. But next year, this time.
It's going to get serious.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you going to tweet your original design? That you got this morning?
Yes, it was more abstract, but well, I don't know. Well, no, I can't now because I drank it. See, you're the one who likes ephemeral art. It's gone. It was a moment in time.
Okay, but yeah. I had to, as soon as Al was finished my latte, I took a picture of him. Like, okay, I can't even touch it. I have to take a picture of it first.
Right.
So I'm going to show that. Although he was really upset at himself. He said, oh, that's not my best work.
Well, I mean, the truth is, you know, that baristas are probably the hardest judges of...
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus, everything is about just that little bit of action. If you got one bubble that's a little bit too big, it changes everything.
Wow.
I know. And of course, he was under pressure. I even told him. I said, I'm totally tweeting this, you know. He's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, good. You know what? For the inaugural latte off, congratulations to both contestants.
So,
this is a call out to the other coffee shops, cafes
in Salmon Arm.
Yes,
beware. We are now out on the street,
Dolce,
on the prowl for the best latte.
Mm-hmm. Java Jai.
Yep,
Pink Cherry.
Just everybody needs to be on their toes.
Yes.
And
Tim
Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
And some people, like I've been
Starbucks.
That's right. Everybody's got a foot in it here, right? Everybody who serves that that little bean is in our sights now. But I've been in the Blue Canoe. Some people think I live there. I've been in the Blue Canoe sometimes where the customer has been really demanding of what they're doing there.
Yes.
And those girls have to be like coffee soldiers to stand up to them. It's really quite disturbing, actually,
we
to see how intense
demanding.
People are.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Some of the people I've heard, the things that they say.
They're sort of ditchy.
I think, wow. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, I don't think I could be a barista.
Oh, no. No, I'd be like cowering in the corner most of the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, because there's actually, it's just, there's such a huge range of products you can provide just with that one little machine, right? Like that everybody has their thing differently. Some people, what do they call it? A direct pour into the cup. You can't let it pour out into the two little metal cups and then pour it into a cup. They don't like that because it changes the coffee. Mm-hmm. So it has to go straight into the cup.
Mm.
So then if you get one of those people, they're like, no. Well, you have to do it all over again because... You know, you have to put it right in the cup. And then there's people that, you know, they say half, you know, like half foam, half milk, half, right? And then the long shot and, because the long shot doesn't mean you just let it go longer. It changes. You have to have a different grind and a different amount of coffee in your basket.
Right?
Yeah. And same with, what is it? The Risetto? Risetto is the short shot. And it's the same kind of thing. You have different grind, different amount. It's not just a short amount of time.
Wow.
It's a whole process that's like massive now. And the expectations on these baristas is
pretty complex.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I respect all baristas out there who are even willing to face the crazy coffee
crowd.
Oh, no.
Just the fact that we can have coffee in a cup within 5 minutes of our request
is
pretty amazing when you think about where the beans come from.
Yeah.
Like, how far?
I know. Globally, this is a real, I don't know, like we're spoiled.
Totally.
Yeah. And they think that we might not have that privilege for very long.
Well, and there you go. There's that, the environmental piece of.
Yep. Because coffee plantations, well, lots of places, rainforests are being clear cut for monoculture instead of growing them in the shade, which is the preferred way to grow coffee beans. Large corporations are going in and clear cutting and planting plantations.
That's why it's so important to really, it's not just about the coffee in your cup. It's about where the bean came from. You need to think about the source.
That's true. And then the other thing is that global warming, climate change is having desertification effects, right? In the areas, in the very zones where coffee can be grown. And coffee can only be grown in a certain sort of number of miles from the equator. Right. It's not like we can grow it in a greenhouse up here.
Exactly.
So if, when you get desertification along the border, or sorry, along the equator, and so the climate isn't right for it. That's it. We've lost it.
That's right. So it's not a right, although it feels like a right. I mean, I feel like my rights have been trampled upon if I can't have a good cup of coffee, but it's actually a privilege. So, you know, vote with your dollar and make sure you're buying ethically sourced beans.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, finally get that tweet off now. I know. It's just so hard. I can't multitask. It's hard.
No, it is difficult to do two things at one time.
And I don't want to be rude and look at my phone while I'm talking to you.
That's right. That's okay. Be rude. It's all right. I've had my coffee. I can handle just about anything.
All right, we've got a few minutes now to talk about upcoming events.
Yes, what is going on? Isn't there some sort of coffee-related event happening tomorrow at the gallery at 2?
Well, interestingly enough, we have a coffee break.
Oh, okay, see?
Right? Like every month, we have a coffee break on the third Thursday of the month. It is our time when you get complimentary coffee and fresh baked cookies from our house baker, Mickey Mann, who usually does cookies on the theme, right? On the theme of the exhibition. And we
predicting
just,
maple leaves.
Are you predicting? That's a really good guess, actually. I would imagine they're leaf something.
Leaf themed.
This is really big for her.
The knitted tree.
Talk about the knitted tree. Yeah. Like talk about people getting passionate about their latte art. You know, the house baker gets pretty passionate about her cookie design.
And lucky for us.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. So some people come, they want to get there early just to see what the cookie design looks like before it starts to get eaten.
Oh,
right?
Fun.
I know it's serious stuff. So we do have coffee break tomorrow, Thursday. If you're listening on the repeat, it would be over.
Over.
But Thursday 2 till 4 is coffee break. But the thing about the knitted tree, because it's a fiber show, it's also a spin-in.
I know. What is it feels like exercise. I'm not sure. I thought spin-in. No, I'm busy that day. I'm not going to be spin-in.
Not spin class.
No, good.
Okay. Yeah. No, the spin-in is kind of it's more generic though. Okay. It's not, you don't have to bring a spinning wheel and spin yarn.
No.
But a spin-in generally is where people show up with their spinning wheels and spin yarn.
Okay.
However,
so it's like the coffee house of
Fiber artists.
Yeah. Okay.
But you don't have to bring a spinning wheel. You can just bring any fiber project. They just still call it a spin-in. So you can actually...
Fair enough.
You can be knitting a hat and you just bring it. You can be knitting a sock and bring it. You can be felting little balls for your cat to play with and bring it. Whatever you're doing fiber-wise, bring it on.
Yes.
So there's coffee cookies and then you can sit amongst the roots and just, you know, do your fiber stuff. Mm-hmm. It's such a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yes.
Have you sat up against the trunk of the tree yet?
Not yet, no.
It's not a good idea. Don't do it.
No, I'm afraid I'll just fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, it was funny on opening night because we did have, like, Nikki's little daughter fell asleep in the crook of the hollow, right?
Yes.
And it's opening night. It was so loud. But sometimes kids are like
that,
right?
But it's a giant fiber hug.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then her brother just kind of curled up next to her and pretended to sleep. Mm-hmm. But then the next time we all looked, he was like,
he was
totally zoned. It was adorable. So funny. And then my girls were there and they were just like all curled
up. It is
like,
so magical. Root.
I sat down just to take a picture and I'm like, oh, this is so warm and lovely. It's kind of dangerous.
Okay.
But anyway.
But come try for yourself.
Yes. So the knitted tree
if
is up
love
for.
Danger.
If you love danger.
Yes.
The knitted tree is up until November 7th.
Oh, wow.
Open Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4. But coffee break, third Thursday of every month. So it happens to be on, what's the date? 13th?
Tomorrow is the 15th.
October 15th. October 15th. And then,
middle of October.
Yeah. Holy and then other melon. Stuff. I mean, there's actually, because it's fall, there's all kinds of other things coming up. So you have to check out Film Society's webpage. They've got their film festival coming up in first part of November. And then and we'll do real lunch at the gallery.
Yes, it'll be happening again.
Yep. And we will be pushing the roots a little bit towards the tree, and we'll be eating our soup around the outside of the gallery. Yeah.
I didn't realize they conflicted.
They do.
Isn't that early? Oh, no, I guess not.
No, they usually have it the first weekend in November, okay, but we are extending the exhibition because Valerie Rogers is the next show, right. And her big pieces were in the Kelowna Airport.
Yes, until... I saw them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. Well, we get to have them.
That's so exciting.
I know. Yes. Anyway, check our website. If you have an arts event that you want to publicize on the Arts Council's website, you can do that just by emailing it to
us. Shoot us an email.
Or if you want to participate in an arts event in the area, you should check our website. Yes. So it's salmonarmartcenter.ca. Click on the participate link and you'll get a listing by date of all the upcoming arts events. Mm-hmm. There's tons of stuff coming up this fall. So enjoy yourself and experience art. And then go to a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the funnest part.
Thank you for your time today and enjoy your cafe.
Yep. And also you can find us on Facebook and you can follow me on Twitter at SAG Curator, SAAG Curator, to see pictures of Al's coffee art. And Louise forgot to take a picture of Carla's coffee art, but next time.
Next time.
All right. See you next week.